Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com Players Platform Show.
Welcome back to another edition of the C2P. I'm your show host, Bo Marchant. As always, we appreciate you stopping by and joining us as we bring you tomorrow's stars, and we bring them to you today. These are the next group of guys making themselves available for the 2017 NFL Draft. This year, it's in Philadelphia, and it's an exciting time for all these guys as they prepare for the next level. And one of the young men preparing for this next level, and he'll be making his way to the scouting combine, is the Northwestern standout defensive end, Ifeadi Odignagba. Ifeadi, we appreciate you sharing your time with us today. Can you believe your time as a college guy has kind of come and gone, and in a few weeks' time, you'll be down in Indianapolis for the combine?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts to really think about it. It just feels like yesterday I was walking in onto Northwestern campus in Evanston and being like being 60 pounds like lighter than I am now. And now that, like, looking back, like I've kind of let my legacy there. Now I'm on to the next level.
Nice. And for you, I mean, growing up, I mean, did you play Pop Warner and Pee Wee, and have you always kind of had that size?
No, I come from a weird background because of so I started playing football my sophomore year of high school. So my whole life was really running track. I was a big track athlete. So I got to the high school level. People were like, hey, Ifeadi, you're a big Nigerian man. You have all the characteristics of being a football player. You should play football. So I kind of annoyed my parents quite a bit. And I'm the middle one of the family. I'm the middle child, so I kind of have that tendency of just being very, very persistent. So they eventually gave in, and it ended up being like probably the best decision of my life of playing football.
Excellent stuff. And for you, I mean, you make the transition. You kind of say, hey, track, I'm going to kind of give this a rest, and you get on the field. I mean, I'm sure you played multiple positions, but kind of how do you find yourself on the defensive front and kind of emerging as the guy that we're talking to today?
So for me, it was just really kind of just my football IQ. Just like I never grew up watching football, and like me just having foreign parents, I'm 100% Nigerian. I'm Nigerian descendant. So my parents immigrated here from Nigeria, and they didn't know much about sports, but they just knew about academics. So for me, like, when I first started playing football, people were like, hey, Ifeadi, you're Nigerian. You're going to be the Nigerian nightmare. So my coach was like, you're going to play D-line because you're Nigerian. So I go, all right, that's pretty rational. Yeah, that's an equation right there. So that ended up working out. So then I got to Northwestern, and I showed up, and people were like, oh, Ifeadi, you're a big-time recruit, man. Like, oh, you're the guy we've been hearing so much about. But at the time, I was 205 pounds. And people were like, and I'm going against these men that are 22 years old, and my teammates are 265, 27. I'm like, oh, my God, I got a long ways to go. So just kind of literally just being very, very I was very humbled. It was a very humbling experience when I got to the collegiate level. So for me, I had to take my time just to really just develop mentally and physically and try to – and year in and year out, I got slowly stronger and bigger that I was able to have a pretty decent year this year.
Yes, you did. You had a fantastic year and a fantastic career. Once again, the Northwestern standout, Ifeadi Odignagba, here on the C2P. We're talking some NFL draft. If you miss any of this show with this young man, you can always listen to it at iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. And then we'll be featuring this draft bio page at collegetopro.com. I'm curious. I mean, you had such a great year. You're invited to combine. How did you kind of get, I guess, you know, lost in the shuffle between the All-Star games, you know, the Shrine Game, NFLPA, Senior Bowl, and such?
Yeah. It's just kind of it's a weird deal. Like, because of the fact that, like, I guess I didn't go to, like, a big-time school. Like Northwestern is a Big Ten school, don't get me wrong. Everyone's maybe so caught up with the Ohio State and the Michigans of the world, and just kind of like those big name flashy schools. And I don't think Northwestern's that flashy school. So I guess people kind of just overlooked me in an All-Star game because I was hoping, because it's not like I turned down any All-Star games. I was waiting for a phone call. I was like, oh, I guess no one likes me, but I was fortunate enough to get an invite to the combine. So now I've just really been preparing for that right now as we speak.
Excellent. Definitely. And a little heads up, in case you haven't got this heads up yet, when you make yourself when you make your way to Indianapolis, bring an extra duffel bag or suitcase, because when you leave there, you get so much free stuff that if you don't have some duffel bags, you're going to leave it in your room or just give it to people at the airports.
That's awesome. Hey, it's all about the free swag, man. I'm a lover of free swag, so that's great to hear.
Yeah, definitely. And if I see you down there, if I happen to cry, I'm going to make sure I'm going to ask you about the duffel bag. I'll make sure you're set up straight.
Okay, all right. All right, so you'll be there.
And
what day will you be there?
I get in on Wednesday, and then I usually leave Sunday morning. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you look out for me.
I'll definitely look out for you. And for you, I mean, where are you training? I'm sure you're doing your combine prep. You probably just got done working out. You're going to be working out in a little while. Where are you getting fit at?
So I'm training at TC Boost. So TC Boost is a place about 30 minutes away from Evanston. It's in Northbrook. So how I kind of got connected to this place was actually I had two teammates in the NFL right now from last year. Dean Lowry, who was drafted fourth round by the Green Bay Packers, and Danny Vitale, who was drafted sixth round by the Tampa, but now he's a starting fullback for the Browns. So those guys trained there, and I'm pretty good friends with both of them. And they did pretty remarkable at the combine because they both had combine invites. And Tommy Christian, the person who leads TC Boost, he's been doing it for 18 years. So his body work is pretty impressive. So it's like when a guy's been doing it for 18 years and the fact that he was also once at Northwestern strength coaches, like you got to like – the numbers don't lie.
Nice. And I'm curious because I see so many variables, Ifadi, of different heights and weights for you. What are you weighing and what's your height right now?
So 6'3". So for the combine, I should be 6'3". If they get me on a 6'3", I'll be very upset. But everywhere I've gone, 6'3". So that's consistent. And then my weight, they had my weight fluctuating from like 235 to whatever. I was 235 maybe my redshirt freshman year. But all right, I'm about probably 260. I'm between 258 to 262.
Wow. Is that your normal playing weight?
Yeah. No. So I was kind of weird. So beginning of the year, man, I was probably like 268. And then as the season progressed, I was probably slimmed down to like around 263 to 265. But now since I've been training, now I'm probably a little down right now.
Nice. Now, Tommy Christian taking care of you. Are you looking in the mirror a little bit more when you're kind of taking off the shirt, seeing all the results of all that hard work?
Yeah, just trying to look all defined, trying to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, just trying to look cut. So one of the things when you get to the combine is you got to look the part. That's what everyone says. You got to look the part, man. You got to look the part. So.
Excellent stuff. I can't wait. I'm gonna be excited to talk to some of the scouts I know because you just come across as such a great personality. I'm sure they're gonna have fun, kind of sitting you down and going one on one. If you're in the film room with these guys and they're watching some film room with you, or you're watching film of yourself, I mean, what are those intangibles to the D-line position that you bring that they're gonna fall in love with?
I think it's just my sense of urgency. So like one thing about Northwestern is. Like I was probably my 3 out of my 4 years, I was primarily kind of a pass rush specialist. So people were like, oh, like how come we don't see this guy in and out? Like why doesn't he get much to talk? It's because Northwestern, we run a 4-3 and we run like a very conservative defense. So we don't like having having wide defensive ends just pass rushing every time. Because we run our base defense is a cover 4. So when you have a DN rushing up the field the whole time, that makes it very hard for linebackers to fill in their gaps.
Right.
So the only times I really got to be really aggressive and let it loose was probably 3rd and long. So for teams like, say second half, 2 minute drill, you need a big play. I'm the guy to count on. Cause there's a lot of times in my life where I had maybe 12, 15 snaps in a game. And I was able to rack 1 or 2 sacks just from that little, just from my little play. So when it comes to an urgency standpoint, I think my efficiency rate is probably one of the best in the nation, if anyone to ever keep tabs with that.
Excellent.
excellent. And does anything go unnoticed? I just asked this because then you kind of really explained a lot in terms of production or, you know, snaps at certain positions. But, I mean, leadership qualities, game film study, you kind of hinted to some of the things that you weren't allowed to do. But, I mean, I guess what the scouts need to know about you, if they're watching film, these are things that they can't see on film. These are kind of behind-the-scenes things that make you a factor.
Yeah, just kind of for me, like, as in the fact that, like, I think because on film, like, because one thing about, like, my team is the fact that, like, in the NFL, it's a very pass-happy league. And when you're dealing with Big Ten football, it's very rundown. It's kind of like, it's kind of the opposite. So I think what scouts really need when they start meeting me is that, like, I do understand the concept of football. And that's probably why I think that's one thing Northwestern did an excellent job, was explaining concepts and when you make a calculated risk, why you made that risk and why that was a good move. So it's all about making plays within the confinement of the defense and also not being a selfish player. So
definitely, definitely.
I won't make a risk where it will put someone in danger, and like, I'll make a calculated risk without being selfish or screwing the team over. Because at times when you see players do risk, it's high risk, high reward. And at times when they don't make that calculated move, they end up blowing, letting a 50-yard touchdown happen.
Right, definitely. Yeah, that's why it is. You got to kind of play to what, you know, what the coaching staff asked you to do, and kind of, and like
exactly.
You said, everybody know their role, and that way you can count on each other. Do you get comparisons to anybody, or is there anyone out there at the next level that you like to pattern yourself after?
Like I said, like I think I'm pretty much a unique player, as in because everyone on film, like someone who just watches film, they'll say, oh, he seems like a power rusher, not a very very quick agile guy. But the reason why I'm even able to do power rushes is the fact that I threaten offensive tackles come off the edge. So when a tackle's kicking off, when a tackle's kicking back so hard because he respects my speed, I naturally kind of just run into him. And my momentum of my mass kind of just blows him back. So people are like, oh, he's a power rusher. We don't know if he has speed, all that. All. I was like, all right, whatever. Like, for me, everyone's like, oh, like, what's your pass rush move? Do you have a pass rush move? Like, well, personally for me, I've never really had a pass rush move. I just react off of the offensive tackle. So the offensive tackle's kicking way back. I'm like, all right, he's kicking way back. He doesn't want to give me his hands. So I'm going to use his body against him. So I'm just literally going to take him down to the field against the quarterback. Then the offensive tackle realizes, all right, this guy's a big guy, so I'm not going to kick back, so I'm going to try to be patient. All right, if you're going to try to be a little patient, then I'll beat you off the edge. So it's just kind of that. Or you have those offensive tackles that just kind of like leaning onto you, kind of like holding against you. When a tackle is leaning on me, lean on me when I'm coming off the edge, I'll naturally do a spin move, and then I'll use your body against them, and they'll end up falling on the ground, and I'm right at the quarterback.
Nice. I love the explanation,
yeah.
Man. You give such nice detailed answers, man. I mean, loving it. Once again, Ifeadi Odenagba here on the C2P. If you miss any of this show, again, in its entirety, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and collegeofpro.com, all avenues to check out, download, and listen to this podcast as we speak. For you, I mean, you know, next week or 2 weeks from now, you'll be down in India. I know you want to knock the whole thing out of the ballpark, but is there one specific – you know, drill that you're kind of really stoked about that you think you're really going to kind of kill?
I do want to be excellent at everything, but I think for a lot of, especially for someone like me, it's probably my 40-yard time or my 10-yard time. So, like, because like I said, I have that track background. So, in my mind, I think I'm the fastest man in the world, but the numbers don't lie. And with the training I'm doing right now, I feel pretty comfortable, but like I won't know my 40-yard dash until the combine, because where I'm training at, they don't tell us our 40-yard times because they don't want us to get so caught up with the numbers. They want us to work on form,
right,
and just being caught up. If you get caught up with the numbers, then people start panicking, and they're really not about people panicking. So just really going in, I'm hoping to have one of the faster 40s at the combine. That'd be a big win.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Excellent stuff. Well, hey, man, we're almost out of time, and we appreciate you jumping on with us. I know you're a busy young man. You got so much going on. But we always like to end the show with some lighthearted questions. You ready to take a shot with those?
Hey, go ahead, man. Shoot.
All right. Now, any team with an iconic head coach, and I think Northwestern's Pat Fitzgerald is deserving of that, what he's done with the program. Is there anybody, maybe you or a teammate, that does a great impersonation of Coach Fitzgerald? And if they do so, do they do it in front of him?
Yes. So our safety, our starting safety, Godwin Igwebuke, he could have gone for the draft this year, but he decided to stay another year. But he does an excellent job of impersonating Coach Fitz. He's done it a couple times because there's any heated exchange when Coach Fitz starts yelling at him, gets all that. He responds by kind of mimicking him, and then everyone just starts dying up. So that happened one time in the weight room, and I was erupting. I've never seen anything like it. So I would say definitely Godwin's a name to remember. Because you'll hear his name in the draft next year.
Excellent. Well, you know, when we hang up, I'll have to try to get his number. That way we'll put him in the database so we can reach out to him next year. And then, definitely. And then, and for you, usually this is one of the questions the guys enjoy answering the most. Female celebrities. If you could take any female celebrity out for a quick bite to eat, who are you going to take to dinner?
Man, Alicia Keys, man. Alicia Keys, I grew up with Alicia Keys. I know she's married right now, so I was pretty upset about it. But I just remember watching Alicia Keys like when I was in second, third grade, and I'm just like this is my woman. Like I know she's 25, and I'm in second grade, but she can wait for me. And unfortunately, she got married, and that was a hard time in my life. But I just got over it. But I'd still be honored to take her out, or Ronda Rousey. I'm a tremendous Ronda Rousey fan. Like I read her autobiography book, even though she lost two matches, all that. Like I just love her background and her just kind of her story and what fuels her. And reading Ronda Rousey, because I read Ronda Rousey before the season started, and I think that's what really helps me out a lot too. Just kind of her mindset. She's got such a warrior's mindset. And that's a great read right there. If I could tell anyone to read that Ronda Rousey autobiography.
Awesome. That's great. You know what? And the funny thing is, prior to her two losses, she was actually an emerging – we kind of keep tally, and then when we do our last podcast of the year, we kind of announce who has the most invites to dinner. Usually Beyonce. Rihanna is always second place. And then third place is always kind of up for grabs, usually between Megan Good and Lauren London, but they're always kind of up for grabs for it. But Alicia Keys used to be the staple, man, so I'm glad. But Ronda was getting hot. She was getting a lot of momentum, and then the two fights, everybody kind of soured on her. But, people go on bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm not a bandwagon, dude. Like, regardless if she retires, what she did for that sport and what she did for females and just the female powers, like, kudos to her. And she's remarkable for it.
Awesome. We got one question, and we're going to let you go today, Afadi. We've been working with Eric Dorsey from Illustrative Creations. He paints and puts the nice paint job on your cleats. If you could have any of your cleats painted or themed out, what kind of theme would you want on them?
What kind of theme? Oh, yeah, that's a good one. So one of my things is probably something kind of a Game of Thrones or a sword reference, because when I got my sacks at Northwestern, every time I got a sack, I made it look like I was pulling the sword out. So now everyone knows me as a sword wheeler. Or if people go, like, Fadio Danville, the Kingslayer. The Kingslayer has returned. So probably anything with a sword or Game of Thrones reference, because I'm a diehard Game of Thrones guy.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, man, you have been an absolute pleasure to kind of get to know and kind of talk to a bit. I will definitely look for you in Indianapolis. I'll make sure you have that extra duffel bag or suitcase. But with that said, man, best of luck training, safe travels to Indy. And we always just like to end the show saying stay humble, stay hungry, and be blessed, my man.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a great honor to be on your radio show.
Thank you so much. Once again, that is Ifadi Odenagba here on the C2P. I tell you what, you talk about a kid with some potential, and, man, he's going to come across great at the combine. Scouts are going to love going one-on-one with this kid. Dude, what a great personality. And you kind of, you know, the detail. I mean, not many guys come on the show and give so much detail and kind of really to what they bring to the table. And I loved how we broke down, you know, some of the, you know, what Northwestern does defensively and how you can't just look at some highlight film. and kind of see what this kid does. And he talked about efficiency, limited snaps, doing what he does best, and that's getting to the quarterback. Again, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and the C2P, our fantastic guest today. Again, Ifeadi Odenigba here on the C2P.
This has been a College2Pro.com exclusive.